We are WNST, AM 1570, Tassel, Baltimore. We are Baltimore Positive. We are positively into the most wonderful time of the year. It's kickoff. The Ravens are still undefeated, at least till Sunday night. And Monday morning, somebody's going to have their feelings hurt. I hope it's Buffalo. I'm not sure. This guy hails from Houston, Texas, but I think it might actually be Waco via Baylor. I'm not sure actually where he called home. He's a baseball fan, but a football man. He is a Hall of Fame voter for many, many years. He was the beat writer for my Houston Oilers for many, many years. I probably should have grabbed the Derrick Henry Oiler jersey. I haven't dusted that off. I'm not going to do that till, you know, probably till the tailgate food shows up around 5:30, 6 o'clock here at the estate. John McClain. He's McClain on NFL. He covers the league better than anybody, longer than anybody. Are you the oldest guy I know that's covering the league? Are there still people around that were doing it before you were doing it, John?
Well, first of all, I grew up in Waco, Texas, went to Baylor, started working at the Waco Tribune-Era while I was going to Baylor, came to Houston in 76 to cover the original Houston Aeros with Gordie Howe and his sons, Mark and Marty, moved to the Oilers in 1977. So it's my 49th year covering the NFL here. And you mentioned Derrick Henry in an Oilers jersey. Did you mean Earl Campbell?
No, I have Derrick Henry in a Tennessee.
Oh, Tennessee.
Yeah, it's a 22. It's the throwback thing that either.
All right, I got
that
you.
Doesn't offend you though, right? As a Houston guy, you're okay with it.
Everybody else in Houston hates it, but
yeah,
I love it.
I hate it, but I
like
love
Columbia
it.
Columbia blue. I like to see it wherever I can see it. They're not going to wear it this year. They've worn it twice the last year, both against the Texans, and the Texans kicked their ass.
And should again, and I hope they do, because it. But I do love it. I love wearing it. It's kind of weird. We're back at it again. Who was the MVP last year, John? Was it Josh McClain or Lamar Jackson in the McClain household?
Well, I thought it was Lamar Jackson had the best season of his career. I had no problem with Josh Allen getting it, but I thought Lamar had his best season. You see him up close up there. I've picked the Ravens now 3 years in a row to win the Super Bowl.
Are you doing it again?
I am. And the last time they went to the Super Bowl, I had picked them before the season. And they have so much talent and such a good continuity there. And so if it's Detroit and Buffalo, I'd have no problem because of the fan bases. They've suffered for so long. But I just think the Ravens keep getting so close and then losing one way or another. Maybe a third time will be a charm.
You know, I give you a hard time about being old, but that's sage and wisdom, and I'm sure that's the case with Derrick Henry, DeAndre Hopkins, Ronnie Stanley, Marlon Humphrey, Roquan Smith, Kyle Van Noy, Mark Andrews. Ravens are counting on a bunch of veterans. You know what I mean? Like, and out of the gate, the thing that I've been harping on, and all my listeners know this, I've been talking about it this week because it's actually football week, is first thing I'm keeping my eye on at the beginning of the year is how are the older guys doing in the beginning? And having seen Steve Smith here not be as good on the last quarter of the year when he got older, same for a lot of veteran players, I'm wondering what this is going to look like, because early in the year, we have no preview of any of this. There's no preseason anything anymore. It's more like college football. Sunday night will be what it's going to be, sloppy. There'll be mistakes and errors and officiating and all of that stuff. But how older guys hold up? The Ravens are full of it, full of young guys too, but they're really counting on their veteran players here, especially the left tackle and the running back and down the line, their cornerback, everything.
I think most teams are counting on their veteran players. You don't see a lot get to the Super Bowl who are predominantly young. And that's one of the reasons I picked them over Buffalo, is because I think they have more talent than Buffalo on both sides of the ball. You know, it's going to be interesting to watch the new kicker, because they haven't had to worry about that for so long. And as kickers decide games, and that could be a big difference, not playing with Justin Tucker for the first time in like 40 years. And so you get to take those guys like Tucker for granted because he won so many games and was so good for so long. And if they're going to be involved in a lot of close ones, they better make sure they have somebody to do a good job of replacing him. But injuries always tell the tale of Super Bowl winners, keeping the quarterback healthy. And I bet, and last year, the way Philadelphia dominated Kansas City, I do not pick the Chiefs to go back because the Super Bowl loser never goes back. New England did one time, then you got to go back to the 90s. So I think I like Detroit because I love Dan Campbell, who's from my area of Central Texas, Texas A&M. They're loaded with talent. We'll see what they do with their coordinators. And then I like Detroit versus Baltimore.
There he is, John McClain. He's McClain on NFL. He covers the league as well, as long, and as deeply as anybody. Hopkins coming in, and I know you have admiration for what Eric DaCosta's built, what the Ravens have been, and the stability and all of that, but the recruitment of, let's start with Woodson and Shannon Sharp, you know, 25 years ago, through, you know, anybody that Ray Lewis brought in, which was Dion at one point, right? So the ability to recruit Matt Burke to come in and play, or Anquan Boldin, they've done Henry last year, Hopkins this year, and I know you know Hopkins well from his time in Houston. Where does he fit into this, and does he fit into this with Bateman, who looks like he's coming on and they want to get him the ball more? Zay Flowers, Pro Bowler. Andrews will play this week, likely will be a part of that. Only one football. I mean, it is an embarrassment of riches, but distributing the ball. Hopkins came here, I guess, because he wants to win, right? He's got a lot of money.
I think the most impressive thing about the Ravens through the decades, going back to Ozzie Newsome, was the way they did bring in talent every year, even though they were picking low. They know how to use the compensatory picks better than anybody in the NFL. And I think they're just solid all around. DeAndre Hopkins was with Kansas City. He scored a touchdown when they got blown out. And he's going to go from Patrick Mahomes to Lamar Jackson. At this point in his career, he's trying to win a Super Bowl, not just get to one like he did last year. And the thing that he'll be good for Hopkins, when it's third and five, third and six, he'll be in the right spot. He won't drop passes. He's got great hands. The most impressive thing I saw about him during all his time with the Texans, until Bill O'Brien made one of the worst trades in NFL history, sending him to Arizona for a second-round pick and a guy who lasted as a backup for 2 years and a washed-up running back, is Hopkins has always runs the right routes. And you don't see him drop passes. And quarterbacks love him. He's not going to beat people down the field on deep routes. It's never been his game. The reason the Texans got him 28th in the first round is because he didn't run 4.7 like Anquan Boldin did, but he ran into 4.6s. And that was all about speed in 2013. So Lamar Jackson's going to love having him on the team because of his experience and because of his intellect for the game. And he'll be a go-to guy on third and short.
Boy, you love the Ravens, right? I mean, you really do, right? I mean, across the roster defensively, brought Chuck Pagano in, signed Kyle Hamilton. They've drafted two kids in the secondary the last 2 years with first-round picks. The center they drafted from Iowa, they're going to have to pay. Even the right tackle from Washington they drafted last year has made it onto the field. I mean, they've really sniffed this out. But then there's winning in January, right, and being healthy enough to do that.
And a good example, that's Kyle Hamilton. They got that deal done. It didn't attract a lot of attention when they were doing it. He didn't say, I've got to be the highest paid safety in the league or the highest paid defensive player, unlike what was happening in Dallas. And so Kyle Hamilton has done more for the Ravens, I think, than Micah Parsons has done for the Cowboys. They can't even get in the playoffs. And maybe he'll be different at Green Bay. But I love the moves they make and the way that DaCosta goes about it, learning from Ozzie, who's one of the all-time great personnel guys, not to mention one of the all-time great players. And I just like the way they operate. And, of course, it starts with Lamar Jackson. It's been amazing, Nestor, all these years that he's been able to stay healthy as much as he puts himself out there. You know, it's – for the grace of God, of course, but obviously takes great care of himself. But for him to be healthy, that is such an important thing for that organization. And there's no reason to think he won't be healthy, because he has been. And that's why they're going to go down to the wire in the AFC. And I hope this time they take that next step, go out there and get another Super Bowl.
I think highly of Joe Burrow as well, and he's been as injured in different ways. And then obviously the Pittsburgh quarterbacking situation with Aaron Rodgers. And oh, by the way, my all-time favorite athlete I ever covered, Joe Flacco, is going to be coming into Baltimore and starting a week and a half from now. So it's an interesting division in that way, but it's the Ravens division. And I don't, where do you put Cincinnati in this? And how do you feel about the Steelers at this point?
Cincinnati, of course, has gotten off to perennial slow starts. They missed the playoffs by one game last year, had an offense as good as any. Joe Burrow was great, bringing back his receivers. That's great for him. They have a suspect running game, new defensive coordinator, and their defense, even with Hendrickson coming back, last year he had 17 and a half sacks. What good did it do him? They got other players that have to play better. So until I see them do it, I'm not picking them to win that division. Pittsburgh, I think, interesting. Aaron Rodgers has been very quiet, no controversy. I don't know if it's because he's out of New York or because he's not going on Pat McAfee every week and stirring it up, but it's not that he disappeared. It's just very quiet, and I think that's bad for the rest of the division and the AFC because he had good stats last year. Now, he didn't do it in the situations of what the Jets wanted, but he stayed healthy. It's 2 years removed from that surgery on his torn Achilles, and he's never been a guy that runs around a lot. I look for him to play really well. It wouldn't surprise me if Pittsburgh doesn't end up second behind Baltimore. Only thing I believe we can count on is Cleveland finishing last and being in the running to get yet another quarterback in next year's draft.
John McClain is here. He is McClain on NFL. He is no stranger to controversy and certainly not fearful of journalism. He's been a longtime journalist for 5 decades, beginning in Houston with my Oilers, and watched his team and his franchise evaporate, watched the fight to get a franchise back, led the fight to get a franchise back, including a couple Super Bowls down in Houston. So I have a serious OG here in the general, but let's talk about controversy a little bit in the league and the Justin Tucker thing here on the back end of in your town, where the quarterback had a similar massage sort of scandalous sort of thing. It was brought to my attention recently that Rashee Rice had two felony counts on him. He got 6-game suspension. Justin Tucker did nothing wrong. The Ravens was a football, he's just a football decision. We don't, everybody Schultz around Owings Mills these days. But he got a 10-game suspension after the NFL came in. I know you know the rules and how all of this works, but people would say, is he going to kick again in the league? Every agent I've talked to, media person believes somebody will get hurt in week 8 and he'll be kicking for a team by Thanksgiving for someone. He's the greatest kicker maybe in the history of the game. And men like you will be the ones who, and women will be the ones who adjudicate that. In a number of years, his career might be over. I'm not going to ask you if he's a Hall of Famer right now. I want to ask about journalism and scandal because, like, the minute the story came out, he pissed on the journalist. The Ravens have been ensconced in this, cutting him, being quiet about it. Lots and lots of lawyers involved in lots of ways. The league has been involved. And yet, John, there's been no reporting on this in Baltimore at all. WBAL can't talk. Nobody's touching it. The Banner's been the only one that's reported on it. I've watched the deterioration of journalism. The Ravens are angry that it was reported, not in respect of the women this was done to in our community. The Ravens saw nothing, knew nothing, said nothing. This is really a shameful little thing that's happened here. And I know what will happen because I saw it with Ray Rice. They're going to bring him back and make him the honored Raven of the game and put him in the Ring of Honor years from now, because that's what it is their will to do, is to walk away from this mess.
First of all, let me talk about the Hall of Fame with Tucker. The Hall of Fame bylaws say anything that happens away from the game cannot be considered when we are considering somebody for the Hall of Fame. And I don't think he would ever get in on the first ballot because it's just not there for kickers or punters or any special teams player like Steve Tasker. But it's not that time heals all the wounds, but I think if when the time comes, if we adhere to the rules, and he is a definitely a Hall of Fame kicker, there's no doubt. To me, he and Adam Vinatieri of the best kickers I've ever seen. And but I think it would be way down the road. I do not think he'll kick again. The difference in
Oh,
him
really?
and
You think he's done?
I think he's done.
Oh,
I
I
think
don't.
any
I've met, not met anybody who thinks he's done. Why do you think he's done?
because of what he was accused of doing and why he was cut, and they have to say what they said because of grievances, potential grievances with the union. And so no, I don't think when you have that many women coming forward, and here with Watson, only one woman came out publicly and spoke. Everybody else kept quiet. There were no lists of stories. There were no lists of where everything took place. It was a lot more better and more reporting there by the banner on the record with all the women based on what I saw and read. And then it was with Watson, who it was all one-on-one. It was never done at facilities. And but anyway, and Watson got a job, $230 million guaranteed, and he's never been the same player since. It's the worst contract in NFL history. Now, last year, Brandon McManus got cut by Washington because he was accused by two flight attendants of sexual assault on a charter, and they reached a settlement. Boom, he gets signed. So the key is to reach settlements, and because if you don't, and it comes out publicly, you're toast. And reporting mainly, it's newspapers are smaller. I saw yesterday the Atlanta Journal-Constitution, one of the oldest, most storied newspapers in the country, is going all digital on January 1st. No more print edition. Now they say they're adding reporters, doing all these things to beef up their website, but in most cases, most papers have cut dramatically. I left the Houston Chronicle. I retired from the Chronicle in 2022, and their staff is, it's amazing compared to what it is now, compared to what it was, say, 10, 20 years ago when the staff was just loaded. So I think when you, one of the problems of cutting back on journalism is you don't have as many investigations. You don't have as many thorough investigations involving multiple reporters. So, and it happens a lot, of course. They'll take just about anybody in football if they think they can help them. But boy, if somebody signs Justin Tucker, then all this is going to be brought back. There's going to be protests, complaints, because I've seen it here with Deshaun Watson, what they went through, and because of the seriousness of the accusations.
You think owners would frown upon that? A desperate coach needs a kicker in week 12, and Justin Tucker can still do it. You think it's a non-starter?
I just don't think we'll see him again based on all the women who came forward and were quoted on the record with all the details they had.
John
I
McClain
may
is
be,
here. Yeah, go
hey, I
ahead.
may be wrong, but that's just my opinion.
Oh, hey, man. I mean, we've all been wrong once or twice. So I think you've been right a lot more than you've been wrong. John McClain is here. He is in Houston. Around the league, trends and things that to look for this year, and things that might be a little bit different that you see, or teams that might be on the come to some degree. I mean, I keep looking at the Chargers. Any team with a quarterback, I look at them and say, if this is the year that they can put this thing together, they could be formidable. And I guess that goes for me. If Joe Burrow plays 17 weeks, I think the Bengals will be good. There's some places where I feel like there's still something to prove for a bunch of quarterbacks.
Well, when I think about the Chargers, a lot of people think about the Chargers as being a Super Bowl contender. I do not. Because the last time I saw the Chargers, the Texans were beating the hell out of them. And that was in the playoffs. And that was not a Texans team that was as good as the year before, even though it was 10-7 and beat them thoroughly in the wild card round before losing by 9 at Kansas City, the way it lost the year before at Baltimore. And they lost their best offensive lineman, Rashawn Slater, for the year. And Jim Harbaugh is a great coach, but he hadn't won a Super Bowl. He won a national championship. And the division is just difficult. I still, a lot of people are picking the Broncos. over the Chiefs in the AFC West. Well, the Chiefs were 15-2 last season, and they scraped by and won so many one-score games, won so many games on like blocked field goals at time ran out. And yeah, people say they're lucky. No, there's no such thing as luck. They did it. And so I'm not picking against the Chiefs. I thought the job that Sean Payton did with the severe salary cap implications of the Russell Wilson contract, choosing to eat as much as they did, strike and go with rookie quarterback Bo Nix, was remarkable. And Justin Herbert, you mentioned quarterbacks. He's going to have to win in the playoffs. He's been in twice. They've lost two games to Jacksonville and Houston from the AFC South. Justin Herbert is a quarterback who's going to have to win in the playoffs, to me, to be put up there with the elite guys. Right now, he's in the top 10, but he's not in the top five. And but that division, Raiders could be vastly improved with Geno Smith and the guy I think will be offensive rookie of the year, running back Ashton Jeanty. But they're still destined for last place unless a quarterback gets hurt on one of the other teams. But I think three of them could make the playoffs. And but I don't think there's a Super Bowl team coming from the AFC West this year.
My sage friend John McClain is McClain on NFL. He covers the National Football League from the fighting city of Houston, Texas, where my Oilers used to play and where Mike Elias used to be employed. I think you might know more about baseball than you know about football to some degree, historically, when I spend time with you, because I can just do a baseball segment with you if I wish. As a parting shot, anything you want to say about the Orioles this year and the implosion of what's happened here?
Biggest disappointment in the American League, like Atlanta is the biggest disappointment in the National League. And I was sorry to see Hyde get fired based on what he'd done in recent history. And it's one of the things I love and hate about baseball. The Orioles come in here and their pitching looks like McNally, Flanagan, Palmer, and Cuellar. And then they go to Baltimore and we're all expecting the worst, that they're going to beat the Astros again. Then the Astros come and beat them 3 out of 4. And but I feel bad for the fans up there because they are great fans. I remember going to Camden Yards right when it opened, sellout crowd, still my favorite retro ballpark. And I haven't been there in years, but I still love it. And I got to think, I don't know how Mike Elias can, with all that talent they have in at hitting and fielding, but they don't have pitching. They've got to find the right young guys to trade to get pitching, or they're going to just be spinning their wheels again next year.
John McClain has been my friend for a long, long time. He'll continue. One day, you and I will attend a game either in Baltimore or Houston, a baseball game. We've done a lot. You and I have been at a million football games together, including the one where we wore masks up on the roofs, and it was me, you, and 35 of our friends watching Houston and the Ravens play in the middle of a tropical storm. I do remember that. That's how much I love football. But I know we love baseball. We should get a hot dog together. I mean, we can even do a Nats game or something, just so it's neutral ground or whatever. But like, I gotta have a hot dog and a beer with you at a ball game one day.
Yeah, you'd have to pay me to go watch the Nationals. My wife likes the Nationals because she's from Silver Spring, and they're so bad for so long, and they beat the Astros in the World Series, and the owner lied to the fans. I want my new stadium. I'll keep all my free agents. We won't lose anymore. Of course, they still lose them and trade them. I would love when I actually retire for good. Right now, I've retired from writing after the season. And I do TV and podcast and radio every week. And also, let me tell you real quick, Nestor, for the last year, I've been working with three filmmakers on a documentary. The working title is called Prairie View Interscholastic League High School Football in Texas Before Integration. Prairie View Interscholastic League was the all-black organization. University Interscholastic League was all white. We've been working, we've interviewed 50 people. And we're headed to Canton for the Hall of Fame to shoot the bust and memorabilia up there of the eight players who played in the All Black PVIL who are in the Pro Football Hall of Fame. It's been a labor of love. We're hoping to have it South by Southwest Film Festival in March, which is second largest in North America. So I've been spending a lot of time on that and loving every minute of it. No Zooms. We do everything in person. Went to Florida and interviewed Jimmy Johnson because he played a key role in losing to the first integrated team that won a state championship in Texas in 1960. So at some point, Nestor, you're going to be hearing about whatever the, this is the working title, but about all football in Texas before integration.
So does this get me an invite to Austin for South by Southwest? Does this do that?
Of course it does. I'll tell you
Well, I
right
mean,
now,
you know,
if
look.
we're lucky enough to get in, of course you'd be invited.
You know, I hate everything about Dallas, and I always
Me
enjoy
too.
time. Well, I do. Everything about Dallas. I mean, I don't consider it Texas. I consider it more like, you know, Moscow. But
Oklahoma.
I like Houston, and my cousin lives in Houston, and you're in Houston, and I've had great food with you in Houston. But I love Austin. You know what I mean? Austin's funky like me. I can let my hair out. I got hair. I can let my hair out in Austin and feel good about it. So I'm gonna come down. I'll see the movie with you. We'll go get some proper. That's what we should do. We should go to a Round Rock game or something. Maybe we'll do that. John McClain is here. He is the general of all things NFL. He Pro Football Hall of Fame writer, all the stuff, all the legendary stuff. Thanks for the Justin Tucker tip. I'm going to be watching, and I'll certainly catch up with you through the course of the season. It's always good to visit with you.
Nestor, anytime. Thank you very much for having me as always, and enjoy the season.
See, one of the honors of being a media member all of these years is meeting people, and John McClain was introduced to me by the great John Steadman. So you can go watch my 25th anniversary documentary and put the pieces together with that back in the 1980s. I am Nestor. We are WNST, AM 1570, Towson, Baltimore, and we never stop talking. Baltimore Positive.